Today, here in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos Daf Yud Ches. We're learning today Leilu Nishmas William Wheeler Tzvi Avigdor Ben Aaron Eliezer. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. We begin on the end of the very top line Yud Ches Amud Aleph. In yesterday's shiur, we had a discussion as to why the Mishnah specifically gave a case of a Pesh Osav Pesh Hiter of Reuven telling Shimon that this field used to belong to your father, but I purchased it from him. And Shimon had no knowledge of this, so he said, since this field was only identified as belonging to Shimon's family, to his father, by Reuven, and then Reuven, Pesha Asa, would have said it doesn't belong to him, then said, Pesha Hita, said, but I purchased it from him, is believed. So we had said yesterday, why do we have to give the case of Shimon's father? Why not do it directly with Reuven and Shimon? We gave a couple of examples, and we showed that in that situation, there wouldn't have been a Migu. So we try again. The list, at the end of the first line, Yud Chesel and Aleph. Why did we have to give the case of Shimon's father? Why not do directly between Reuven and Shimon? Such as Veliste, why didn't the Mishnah teach us Mode Rabbi Yeshua, when Yeshua is Mode, that here in this situation there is a Migu, but in the other situations there is no Migu, why didn't we give this case? We should have said Ba'omer, that we're dealing over here with Reuven, Ba'omer L'chaver, Reuven telling his friend Shimon, Mono Lovisi Mimcha, I borrowed a Zuz from you. However, he also claims, Hapesh Os, Hapesh Hito, yes, I owe you a Zuz, but Uprativ L'cho, but I paid you back. So Shimon Neman, why didn't we give that example of a case of where even Rabbi Yeshua would say, Hapesh Os, Hapesh Hito? So Gemara says, no, Mishum Dekoboy L'mista Sefer, because the second part of the statement, which is if the witnesses come along, wouldn't have been applicable. Because the second part of the Mishnah says, Im Yesh Eidim Shu Lavim Menu, if we have independent evidence, we have Eidim to come and say that, yes, Reuven, you borrowed $100 from Shimon, then in that situation, even though Reuven says, Womer Perativ, I paid you back, Einon Emon. Reuven is not believed in that situation. Because this would be consistent with the following. For Kaimalon, because we have learned elsewhere, this is a Mishnah in Shavuos that teaches us, Hamalva Eschaveiro be Eidim. If you lend money to somebody else with Eidim, Eino Tzorech Lepor of Eidim. Just the fact that Reuven borrowed the money from Shimon when there were Eidim present, so it doesn't automatically necessitate, according to this opinion from the Mishnah and Shavuos, that you have to pay him back in front of Eidim. And therefore, in this situation, we would say he is believed to say that he paid back. So our Mishnah said, Eino Neman, but based upon the Mishnah and Shavuos, he would be believed to say he paid back, because just because you borrowed with Eidim doesn't mean that you automatically have to pay back with Eidim. And therefore, that's why we couldn't give the case of Reuven directly dealing with Shimon, but we needed to deal with Shimon's father. And as Rashi points out, on a deraisa level, midiraisa below shur, he would be in fact believed to pay, say that he paid back. And therefore, that doesn't jibe with what we said in our Mishnah, and that's why we couldn't give this case. Try one more time. Listen, why didn't the town of Mishnah give a direct case with Reuven and Shimon in the following manner? He should have said that Rabbi Yeshua is Modeh, Modeh Rabbi Yeshua, in the following case, Ba'omer L'chaveiro, Reuven says to Shimon, Mone li'avicha biyodi, I borrowed $100 from your father, v'chaltiv pros, and I paid back half of it, I used up half of it, but I paid back half of it, shuneman. Why don't we give that case of Pesha Osa Pesha Hita, and say in that situation, Shimon apparently did not know about this loan, and therefore it's only because Reuven mentioned it, therefore believe him when he says that he paid back half of it, and don't make him give a shvua of Modeh B'Miktzas. Modeh B'Miktzas is a very important shvua. This is a din d'oraisa, that if a person lent somebody else money, and the person says, I paid you back half of it, so they have to pay, make a shvua that he, in fact, paid back the half, and that he still owes him the other half. We don't accept it to say, well, I paid back half, and no shvua is necessary. This is called Shuas Modeh B'Miktzas, and is a din d'oraisa. And here's the Rashi that I just mentioned a minute ago. I think I read it in the wrong place. So Neman mid'oraisa below shvua, he is believed without having to make a shvua of Modeh B'Miktzas. Now, two more questions. It says, Aliba Deman. Who are you exactly talking about that this should go into court? This is a machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And if this were the case in our Mishnah, which says that he's not Neman if Eidim come along and say that there was this loan outstanding, so this wouldn't fit with either of the two opinions, the Rabbanon or Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Let's understand this by going through the Gemara. Aliba Deman, who are we talking about? E Aliba the Rabbanon, if you're saying that this goes in accord with the Mishnah of the Chachamim, which we're going to explain in a moment, their sheet is, Ha'amre, Meshiv Aveda Have. A person in this situation who admits that he owes half the money, but he paid back half the money, is essentially a Meshiv Aveda. We're saying here that there's no way that he should have to make a shul, because This is analogous to a person who's Meshin Aveda. If I find your wallet and I return it to you, and you say, well, thank you very much, but there was $100 there and you only returned $50 to me, so that would be equivalent in some ways to a mode of a mixas. I'm saying, yes, there's $50 here, but you're saying, no, there was $100. If you're going to make me make a shrew in that situation, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to not return the wallet. I'm just going to leave the wallet where it was and keep on walking. So in order to facilitate Hashavas Aveda, the rabbi said that when you're dealing with Hashavas Aveda, we don't make you make a shrua that you didn't have more money there than is you're being returned, because you're doing the guy a favor. And we don't want to make you have to make a shrua if you're doing the guy a favor. So according to the Chachamim, when Reuven says, yes, your father lent me money, but I repaid half of it, so I'm basically being Meshiv Aveda. You wouldn't have had this money otherwise. You have no taina against me, and therefore I'm essentially returning half the money as an Aveda, Hashavas Aveda, and therefore I don't have to make a shua. So according to the Chacham, you wouldn't have to make a shua anyway. Yeah, Liba, the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, but if you want to say it goes like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who argues with the Chacham, which we'll see inside in a moment what that argument is, oh, my shua boy. So he requires a shua. So then, this case cannot be the case that our Mishnah would be talking about, because who would Rabbi Yeshua say, Amoda, in this situation that you don't have to make a shua? According to the Chachamim, of course you don't have to make a shua. This is Meshiv Aveda. And according to Elazar and Yaakov, you do have to make a shua. So therefore, that can't be the case. Now, what exactly is this machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov? The Tanya. That we learn in the following brisa. Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov Omer, Pa'amim Sh'odam Nishba Al Tainasatz. Well, sometimes a person has to make a shua, even though he was the one that brought the claim forward, so to say. How? Ketzad, under what circumstances is that? For example, if a person says, Mona liovicha biyodi, Reuven goes to Shimon and says, your father lent me $100. The echaltiv pras, I used half of the money, and I repaid him the other half of the money, so I still owe him half of the money. So Rabbi Elazar Yaakov says, Harei ze nishba. This is a classical case of a person going and having to make a shua of modu b'mitzas based upon his own claim. V'zehu shenishba al tainasatzvo. He's the one that's bringing this claim forward. I did pay your father back half, but I didn't pay back the other half. Nevertheless, he has to make a shua based upon his own claim. Shinish bal tainas atzmo. Whereas the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Rabban and the Chachamim say, "Ain no elokimeshiv avedo pata." Ah, the Chachamim say, if you make a person who's returning an aved, they have to make a shua that the wallet had only $50 in it, not $100 that the other guy is claiming, so nobody's going to want to return the wallet. So too over here. If you make this guy, you have to make a shua, so he's not going to go and admit even the 50% that he owes. And therefore, this is like a Meshav Aveda, and he's parted from having to make a Shua. So again, Mimarashach, if this was the case, say Rabbi Yeshua, who would he go like? He doesn't go like the Chachamim, because the Chachamim say that you don't have to make a Shua. And this would be true, even if witnesses were to come along and say that there was a claim. Even it's a, what we called, a Shar Shach Lufanov, that there was proof over here that Shimon says, you owe me the money. Nevertheless, we still don't make him make a shvua. And if you're holding like Rabbi Yaakov, then you do have to make a shvua, even when there aren't witnesses. So therefore, this can't be the case that Yeshua is molded to. Now, while we have this price in front of us, the machlok is Rabbi Elazar Yaakov, and the Chum, let's understand it better. The Gemara continues to discuss it. Rabbi Elazar Yaakov, les le meshiv aveda potter. The Gemara finds it hard to believe, this is Loshon Bismi over here, that Rabbi Elazar Yaakov doesn't hold this concept of meshiv aveda. Everybody agrees that if you find the wallet and there's only $50 in the wallet and you return it, and the guy who had the wallet said, thank you very much, but there was $100 in the wallet, you owe me another $50, you took $50 from me. Everybody agrees, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that you don't have to do a shvua, that you just walk away. You say, listen, I returned what I found, and that's it. As the Rashi brings down over here, Rabbi Elazar lesle meshiv avei the potter, even Rabbi Elazar holds that he's potter in a shvua. Loshem bismia. Everybody agrees with this takana to facilitate people wanting to return stuff. Hamotzi mitzia lo yishova. If we make a person who's returning an aveda swear, nobody's going to want to return items. Mipnei tikkun olam. In order to facilitate people to return items, we don't make him make a shua. V'chivon dechi eino tovo nami mechayiv leishua hari ein luchameishav aveda gedolim mizeh v'chayiv. If Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov over here were to be saying that you have to make a shvua no matter what, in this situation you're molded with mixas, so then this is no greater meshiv aved the situation than this, because the guy didn't make a claim against him. Shimon didn't know anything about this. So therefore, obviously, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would not say that you chayv a shvua in this situation. So Amar Rav, Rav says no, he would. Because you know what we're dealing with over here? Betoano katan. We're dealing over here where he was a katan. and he's saying that you owe me money, but the katan is normally not listened to. But in this situation, since he's modu b'miktsas, so then we do in fact make him make a shua of modu b'miktsas. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is dealing with. More questions. This though, the Gemara says, but we learned in the Mishnah in Shavuos that a katan doesn't have the right to go and force somebody to make a shua. And we don't make a shvua based upon the taina of certain people. Al taina schayresh, a person who is not considered halachically competent because he is unable to speak and he's unable to hear. A shota, a person who's unfortunately doing all sorts of crazy things and he is mentally incompetent. And a katan, who by definition is considered mentally incompetent. So if this katan, Shimon, says, my father lent you money and you have to pay us back, so he's not listened to. So there is no taina over here. So then why don't we say it's Kamesh of Aveda? So Gemara says, no. My cotton, what does it mean he says that he's a cotton over here? Shimon's a cotton. It doesn't mean he's a cotton by chronological. It means he's a cotton compared to the knowledge that he has of his father's business. He's really a gadol. However, if I might correlate cotton, the legabe mila di aviv, cotton who? Because no child necessarily knows what their father's business dealings were. So even though this child, Shimon, is 20 years old, so he's a gadol from a chronological point of view, he's a bar mitzvah, but at the same time, he doesn't know what his father's business was. So therefore, in this situation, Rav is saying, that's the katan that we're talking about, that in fact, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, would be able to go force Reuven to make a shvua in this situation, even though he's admitting to have. We don't consider it Meshav Aveda, but we consider it a mode of a mixas. Whereas if that's so, Ihachi, then why are we calling this Tainas Atzmo? Tainas Acherimhi. So then this is based upon Shimon saying, you owe me the money. Why is this Tainas Atzmo? This isn't Reuven saying, well, your father lent me the money, but I paid back half of it, so I only owe you the other half. That's not Tainas Atzmo. This is Tainas Shimon. Where it says, yeah, Tainas Acherim, it's in part based upon the Tain of Shimon, but it's his own Hodah saying, half I did pay back, albeit the other half I did not pay back. So that's called Hodoas Atzmo. But the Tain is Tainas Acher. Gemara says, how is that different than every single case of Modu B'Miktsas? Kuli Tainosa. Every single case of Modu B'Miktsas would then be called Tainas Acher and Hodoas Atzmo. Somebody's claiming that you owe the money. You say, yeah, you only owe you half the money. That's the classical case of Modu B'Miktsas. Tainas Acher and Hodoas Atzmo Ninu. So why would this case be any different than Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says? This case is an example of where you're paying back on Tainas Atzmo. It's like every other case in Modu B'Miktsas. So Gemara says, you're right. Elohocho b'dirabo komiflugi. What Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chacham are arguing about is the din of Rabba. What's the din of Rabba? The Omer Rabba. Rabba says, b'pnei ma omra Torah Modu B'Miktsas Ataina Yishova. Why is this a Torah Shvua? Why is there a Torah obligation if a person says, you lent me $100, but I paid you back 50, so I only owe you 50. Does the Torah say that you're obligated in Shvuas Modu B'Miktsas? What's the rationale behind that? So Rabba explained, why did the Torah insist upon this? If you're Modu and part of the Taina that you have to make a Shvuas Modu B'Miktsas, because there's a Chazaka here, there's an established fact, so to say. A person would be embarrassed. Ein Odem Meis Panov B'Fnei Baal Chovo. A person would never go and deny and be so brazen as to go and tell somebody who lent them $100, you never lent me anything. So therefore, Bahai Bakulo Boilo the Chapre, he really would love to say, you never lent me anything. He just doesn't have the chutzpah to go do that. But he'll knock it down a little bit. Bahai the Lo Kaprale, and the reason why he doesn't deny the entire amount is Mishum de Eino de Mei is Panafu, because it's too brazen, it's too much to expect a person to totally deny. Reuven says, nah, Shimon, you never lent him any money. Shimon was nice, gave him $100. So to knock it down to 50, that he'd have the chutzpah to do. But to totally outright deny it, a person wouldn't do it. And that's why the Torah says, we know human psychology. God created human psychology. So the Torah says, based upon human psychology, we're instituting midaraisa, the shua called Modu B'Miktsas, because people won't deny it totally, but they would have the chutzpah to deny it in part, and therefore we're instituting Modu B'Miktsas. We turn to Yuches on the base. The Torah continues, Rabba's statement, and he says, Ubakula boy of the low delay. And in fact, there are other people that would want to go and pay back the entire amount, but they just don't have the money. They don't have the funds right now. Buy the low delay, and therefore, when they deny half of it, it's only because they're just trying to have a delaying tactic over here. To get them off your back. So, okay, here's the $50 that I owe you. The other 50 I already paid you. They know that they didn't pay him the other 50, but they just want him to not constantly bother him for the other $50. Vesaber, and this person says, Ad havili zuze uparanale. As soon as I get the money, I'll pay him back the other 50 as well. I just need to be left alone for a little bit so I can go earn money without having this hanging over my head. And therefore, since a person would in fact have the ability to do this, the human psychology would say that a person would really want to admit that he owes the whole amount, and he's only saying 50% because he just needs a little bit of time. He's trying to buy a little bit of time. Therefore, the Torah says, Rachmon Amar, Rami Shualei, make him do the Shua Modu Mimitzas, Kihechidi Lodilei Bekulei, so he should admit the entire amount, because even though he's claiming he wants to pay back the whole thing, once the court clears him and says, okay, you only have to pay back the 50, the other 50 you said you paid, we believe it. So then, you know what? He's going to end up giving himself rationalizations and saying, well, you know, maybe I really did pay it back. And the court said I don't have to pay it back. So therefore, we want to make sure that he admits the right amount. And therefore, we make him do a shua modu mixas. People were terrified to make a false shua. People, more elsewhere tells us, would do all sorts of other things, but to make a false shua, that they wouldn't do. So therefore, if we force this person to make a shua, he will admit the truth, and therefore, that's why the rabbis instituted modem mikzas to get him to tell the truth. Now, what's the machlokas? This is what Rabbi stated. How does this impact the machlokas between Lezim and Yaakov and the Chachamim? So, Lezim and Yaakov hold Sovar, he says, lo shnob bo, for lo shnob if no. Just like a person won't be so brazen as to deny it from the person who actually lent him the money, the father, Shimon's father, he won't be so brazen as to tell Shimon the son, you never lent me anything. And therefore, ain't no meis to the son either. And therefore, this isn't the meis of aveda because he wouldn't be so brazen as to deny it. So therefore, this is a mode of a mixer situation where Lezman Yaakov says, yes, you have to make a shvua. The Rabbanan Sabri, no. The Rabbanan say, Bo, who the ain't no meis is, with the father who lent him the money, the $100 from the father, that he wouldn't have the chutzpah to go and say, you never lent me anything. However, with the son, Avol Bivno, yeah. He doesn't feel bad because the son doesn't really know what happened. The father knows what happens. So he's going to look him in the eye and say, what? You're denying that I lent you $100. You're at it. You're down in the dumps. And I lent you $100 and now you're denying it? Is that the person wouldn't have the chutzpah to do? But to the son who doesn't know all the details, he would have the chutzpah to do it. Abu Bivno Meis. And therefore, since he admitted part of it, so we have to assume that it's believable. And it's like Meishav Avei Dehavei. And therefore, there is no chiv of Modu B'mikza Shvua according to the Chachamim. And that's the ultimate understanding over here between the machlokes between Rav Lezman and Yaakov and the Chachamim, and that's how we conclude this section of the Gemara. And now we go on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us another idea about Hapesh Osa, who Hapesh Hitir. And it tells us as follows. Ha'edim, you have witnesses that signed on a shtar, right? As Rashi says, Shoyim Edim Al Chasmeyim L'Kayim Es Shtar. So these two witnesses, Reuven and Shimon, had signed on the shtar, and now Reuven comes and says, yeah, that's my signature. Or Reuven and Shimon both come and say, that is our signature. We signed on that shtar. So, Hedim Sharmu, Ksav Yadenu said, yeah, we signed on that shtar. But now, that's the Pesha Asa. They're now claiming that this document is a real document, and Reuven only Shimon is the $100 that the document says. But now they come along and relieve him of that responsibility because they say, Aval anusim hayinu. Somebody forced us to sign it. Reuven and Shimon said we were coerced into signing this. Somebody forced our hand. We'll discuss exactly how they forced them. But for now, that's seemingly a pesha asa pesha yitir situation because otherwise we wouldn't be able to authenticate the shtar. It's only because these two witnesses are saying, yeah, that's our signature. We don't have independent verification of the signatures. So therefore, they are believed to say, the Mishnah tells us, pesha asa pesha yitir, that this is our ksav yad. So they're believed to say, but we were forced to sign it. Or, if they say, yes, this is our ksav yad, but ketanim hayinu, but we were children, and therefore we weren't valid witnesses at the time that we signed it. We were 10 years old when we signed this document. Or, if they say, psule edus hayinu, or if they say that we were, Rashi says, krovim, or mesachakim b'kuvya, at that point in our lives, we were related to the bali dinim over here. Then, no, there was a divorce afterwards, so now they're not related to them. But, or they say that they were Mesachim Rekuvia. They were dice players at that point in time, and they were possibly Edus. But now we're no longer dice players. So in any event, they're saying that, yes, they're authenticating their signatures, but they're making a claim that invalidates the shtar. So the Mishnah tells us this is a Pesh Osa, Pesh Yehitir situation, Hare Elu Nemonim. They all believed. But again, if we have independent confirmation of their signatures, we can authenticate the shtar independently of them. We have witnesses that come along and say that this is their ksav yad, and we don't need the witnesses Reuven and Shimon to authenticate their own signatures. So then, we don't believe them. Or alternatively, Osher Yoksav Yodim Yotzi Mokam Acher. Or we have another shtar that we know has been authenticated, and we compare the signatures, and the signatures are exactly the same. Again, we have independent confirmation of this shtar, so then, Ein on Nemon. And then the witnesses are no longer believed to say, Reuven and Shimon aren't believed to say, Anusim Ayinu, Ktanim Ayinu, or Psule Eidus Ayinu. In that situation, it's no longer Pesha Asa Pesha Hitir, and once their shtar has been authenticated, so then they're not believed to go and reverse what the shtar says. Okay. Mar starts off with a statement from Rami Racham. We'll have two versions of this. Omar Rami Racham, the first version says, Rami Racham explains, Lo Shanu, we didn't say in the Mishnah, as Rashi points out, Dim Ksav Yodon Yotzi Mimokam Acher Ein Nemonim. We only said in the Mishnah that they're not believed that the shtar was authenticated by someone else. Then they're not believed to go and retract what's written in the shtar by saying, Anusim Ayinu, Aktanim Ayinu, Apsuli Edus Ayinu, Elosh Amru Anusim Ayinu B'machmas Mamon. Yet they say that we were coerced into signing this because somebody paid us off. Somebody gave us $100 and said, go sign this shtar. Or somebody said, I'm going to go and cause financial damage to you unless you sign this shtar. So in that situation, then Einu Nemon if we have separate authentication of the shtar. However, if they claim, Abol Anusim Ayinu Machmas Nefashos, somebody said, you either sign the shtar, Reuven and Shimon, or we're going to kill you. So then, Harei Elu Nemonim, even if there is separate authentication, we still believe Reuven and Shimon to say that that shtar was a coerced shtar. How come? So Rashi explains in the first situation, they're basically saying that they're Rishayim. They were doing something that's totally inappropriate for money. So therefore, they're not believed. They're basically saying that we were Rishayim and a person isn't believed to say bad things about himself. Whereas in the second case, where they say that we were forced because of a threat to our lives, so then the halacha basically says they'd be allowed to do something that's not one of the three cardinal sins, and therefore they're allowed to go do it, and that's why they're believed. Okay, that's the understanding of Rabbi Rachama right now. Amalei Rava, Rava says, however, to Rabbi Rachama, that's incorrect. Kol kamine, do we really believe these witnesses over here to change their mind? That's not true. After all, we have a principle. Kivan Shehigid, once witnesses come and testify, and what they're basically doing by authenticating the shtar is saying that they are testifying, Shuv Eino Choser Umagid. They no longer can retract that testimony. The only time you can retract the testimony is when you're giving it orally, and it's Tokhid De Dibor, you can still modify it or change it. But once the testimony has been accepted, and in the shtar, once the shtar is authenticated, so therefore, Shuv Eino Choser Umagid. You're not allowed to go back and change it around. As Rashi points out, the Gabi Eidos, Chodo Hagodo Ksiva, the Pasuk says, in Lo Yagid, that's one time you get to say it, not to change your opinion at a later point in time. V'ochanami, in this situation with the Shtar, Kivan D'chasime Bishtora, when they sign that Shtar, that's as if they are testifying, Hainu Hagodo, Dirhu, that's their Hagodo. V'hechi Mehemne Sulu Miyakar, how could they possibly believe to later on uproot that? After all, hold the Ksav Yodin Yosi Mochamacher, so their testimony has been corroborated by independent experts elsewhere who either compared their signature to another shtar that was authenticated, or they said, we know those signatures, and that's Reuven and Shimon's signature. And therefore, Bishlom Reisha Rashi says, Kishen Ksav Yodin Yosi Mimokam Acher, when it wasn't independently authenticated, so then, Valeyu Samchinon, and we're believing them because they're the ones that are telling us that that's the signature, so it's Kulu Chod HaGodi. So they're saying, HaPesh Os, HaPesh Iter, at the same time. It's not Shuv, Market. No, this is one testimony. The Hob also Dibur Bichde Shein LaShalom Kaamri, because it's as if they're saying it within the amount of time it takes to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori or Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So therefore, they're saying one statement. It's not that they're retracting their original statement and now making a new statement. No, it's all one statement. They're saying yes, that's our shtar, but we were forced to sign it because somebody was putting a gun to our heads. However, when you have independent corroboration of their signatures, so now it's no longer Pesh Asa Pesh Yitir, this is Shuv, Choser Umagid, and that's not allowed. Avol Hoch, as Rashi concludes, Lava Pumayim Samchina, we're not relying upon them to validate the Shtar, and therefore it's as if they already testified and they can't go back and retract it. I, Rava, says, you're going to tell me, V'chitema Hani Mili Alpeh, that concept of Shuv Eino Choser Umagid only works Alpeh, Avol Bishtar Lo, but in a document it doesn't work, because maybe you're going to say that that's not Hagodah, it's only in Lo Yagid, so you have one time to say, but in the Shtar, it's not called one time saying it. Abu Shtar Lo, that's not true. Because Reish Lakish disagreed with that. V'amar Reish Lakish, Eidim HaChasumim Al HaShtar, When you sign on a document, it's no different than if you actually had testified orally in the Beis Din. So therefore, there is no difference, according to Reish Lakish, and Rava says that this is the case, this is the halacha, there is no difference whether you orally testify and you can't have Shuv Eino Chozer Magid, or it's a document that's been approved, authenticated, Shuv Eino Chozer Magid. So both of them works the same way. So therefore, Rabbi Rechama's statement is wrong. Rabbi Rechama had said that they are allowed to go back and retract it if they're saying that they were forced because of a threat of life. But here, based upon what Rabbi says, that's not true. So therefore, we go and change Rabbi Rechama's statement. Elo ki itmar aresha itmar. If Rabbi Rechama really made a statement, so he was going on the resha. What is that? And we said in the resha that if Reuven and Shimon were the ones who corroborated their signature, there was no independent authentication, so then they're believed to say, Anusim ayinu, Ketanu ayinu, Opsulim ayinu. They are believed to say that. And on that, on the resha, Amar Rabbi Rechama, we only said that, Loshadu elisha amu anusim ayinu machmas defashos. We only believe that we allow the witnesses to go and retract their statement that's documented in the shtar, because they say that there was a pikuach nefashos situation, machmas nefashos. However, but if they were basically saying we were bad people and we took money, we took a bribe, we got paid off to go and sign this, so then ain nemanim, then they're not believed. Why? Because my taima ain other meisim atzma rasha. Because by basically stating that we were bad people, they're making themselves into a rasha. And we have a principle: a person can never give testimony, a person can never say something that makes himself into a rasha. So therefore, if they're saying it's Bikuach Nefashos, Rabbi Rechama says that's allowed, because the din is for Bikuach Nefashos, you'd be allowed to go and sign on the shtar. But just to make a buck, you can't go falsify your shtar. And if they're saying we only signed on it to make a buck, so they're basically making themselves into a rasha, and we have a rule, ain't other mesim asmo rasha, and therefore they're not believed. Tana Rabban, and we learned in the following brayso, ain't in man lefoslo, divrei Rameyer. We have a brayso that tells us that we don't believe the Edim who come along to say that that's their signature. We don't believe them to go say, Apesh os Apesh iter. Rav Meir's opinion is, we don't believe them. Whereas the Chachamim agree with our Mishnah, the Chachamim are the authors of our Mishnah, the Chachamim, Nemanim. We are believing them to say, Apesh os Apesh iter. If they're the ones that validated, authenticated their shtar on the document, so the Chachamim hold like our Mishnah, say that we do believe them to say, Anusim Ayinu, Ketanim Ayinu, or Psulim Ayinu, or something, their second time to invalidate the Shtar. Whereas Rav Meir says, no, we don't believe them. Now, Bishlam al-Rabbanon ki tamayu, we understand why the Rabbanon say what they do. That's based upon the principle of Shepesh Asa, who Apesh Yitir. But why doesn't Rav Meir hold from that? After all, doesn't Rav Meir hold Apesh Asa, Apesh Yitir? El Rav Meir, my taima, why doesn't he accept in this situation, when the Edom come along and say, yes, that's our signature, but you have no independent authentication there, so therefore believe us, because we're the Pesha Asa, we're also the Pesha Ita, say that we were Anusim, we were Ketanim, we were Psulim. Why doesn't Rav Meir agree to that? So Gemara says, Bishlama Psula Yedus. Okay, to say that they were Psulim, there we have a rule. Malva Gufe Meikara Meidak Dayik Umechsam. There's no way that a Malva would ever take the chance that the Edom aren't good Edom. So he checked them out, and certainly they weren't Krovim, they weren't Psulim, they weren't Mesachakim Kuvya, and therefore, that's why we don't believe, Rav Meir says, with a Peshos and Peshihita, because there's no way the Malva would have let them sign if what they're saying is true. And likewise, Ketanim Nami, there's no way that Rav Meir says that they would have let them sign on this if they were definitely Ketanim. Because Rav Shimon Lakish, this goes in accord with what Rav Shimon Lakish said. What did Rav Shimon Lakish say? Damar Rish Lakish, we turn to your testament, Aleph. Chazaka, we have a basic premise that we can always assume, that is, Ein Ha'edim Chosmin Al Hashtar Elo Im Kenase Begadol. Nobody is going to sign on a shtar as a 10-year-old kid. The Balim won't let them, and the Edim themselves won't sign on a shtar as a 10-year-old kid. So therefore, if the Edim are saying that we were Psulim, there's no way the Malva and the Lova would have let them sign. And likewise, if they say they were Ketanim, there's no way the Malva and the Lova would let them sign. That's why Rebbe doesn't accept them with a Peshos, a Peshiter. No. Alo Anusim, my taima. Why doesn't Rav Meir say, listen, somebody's holding a gun to their head, so why doesn't Rav Meir believe that they would be allowed to sign in that situation? Isn't the halacha that you're allowed to sign? So Amar Chisda, Rav Chisda says a tremendous idea here, which is totally wrong. Amar Chisda, Kesav Rav Meir, Edim Sh'amu Lehem Chismu Sheker, V'yal Teragu, Yahargu, V'yachsimu Sheker. Rav Chisda wants to suggest that Rav Meir holds not only are there three cardinal sins, there's a fourth cardinal sin that if somebody puts a gun to your head and says, sign this or else we're going to kill you, so the din is that you're allowed to sign it. But it seems, Rav Chisda says, the Rav Meir holds, yehargu, they're supposed to let themselves be killed, ba'al yachsavu sheker, and don't sign it falsely. So that goes against everything that we know, that there's only three cardinal sins, which is what the Gemara says. Amalei Rav, Rav says to Rav Chisda, that's ridiculous. Hashta ilu asu l'kamon le'imluchai. What would be the din if they came to ask the guys that said, you better sign on this document or we're going to shoot you? They said, let me go ask my rabbi. And the guy says, sure, go ask your rabbi. And they go to ask the rabbi. Hashta ilu asu l'kamon le'imluchai. If they'd gone to the Rav, when this situation, they say, well, listen, we got to get back to him by 10 o'clock tonight, and signing this document is going to kill us. What should we do? So wouldn't the Rav tell them, I'm reading Lou, Zilu Chasumu, the Lo Tiskatlan? Wouldn't the Rav tell them, this is Yahareg Val Yavar? No, it's not. Go and do it, Yavar Val Yahareg. So therefore, if they'd asked the Shaila, they would have been told, you're allowed to sign. So the Amar Mai, because we have the famous rule, we have this in many places in Shas, you can see this in the Masoros HaShas Os Bay, you have this in Sanhedrin, as well as in other places, where this din is taught to us, Ein l'cha dover sh'omei v'pnei pikuach nefesh, nothing stands in the way of pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to go call atzola on Shabbos, yivachal Shabbos, if somebody has any sort of a urgency that you need to be machal a din in the Torah, you're allowed to go do this, you can eat truma, if you're a non-Kohen, if this is the only food that's available, etc., etc. Ein l'cha dover sh'omei v'pnei pikuach nefesh, there's nothing that stands in the way of pikuach nefesh. Three cardinal rules, three cardinal exceptions. Elavodas kochavim, and they tell you, bow down to the side, or we're going to kill you. You have to say, then kill me. Yehoreg v'yavar. If they say, v'gilu arayis, go and commit adultery with this married lady. So you have to say, kill me. I'm not going to commit the adultery. Ushvichas damim. They say, listen, you better kill this guy, or else we're going to kill you. So you have to say, kill me. Yehoreg v'yavar. So only these three. Avodas kochavim, v'gilu arayis, shvichas damim, bilvad. Not yahargu v'yayachsu sheker. That's not one of the three cardinal sins. So therefore, if they come to ask a shaila, we would tell them, go and sign it. Now that they went and signed it, hashda the chosmu, would we have the chutzpah to tell them, Marina Lu, amai chasimsu? Why did you go and sign it? You should have gone and let yourself be killed. That's not true. That's not daloch. So what in the world is going on? Why did Rav Meir not accept them to be able to retract and say, apesh asa pesha hitir, in a situation where they said, the guy put a gun to the head and said, we had to sign it. Why don't we believe them? Say, apesh asa pesha hitir. So, El at time of the Rav Meir, the reasoning of Rav Meir is Kidder Rav Huna Amarav. It goes like in accord with the opinion that Rav Huna said the name of Rav. What did it say? The Rav Huna Amarav, Mode Bishtar Shekisovo Ain't Sorech Likaimo. We have a rule that if a shtar is written up by one of the Balei Dinim, so then you don't need to have it authenticated. Ain't Sorech Likaimo. You don't need to prove that it's a valid shtar. If the person who wrote it up says, that was my handwriting, and that was the shtar, so then you don't need to authenticate the witnesses on it. As Rashi points out, Love, the one who borrowed the money, Shahode Bishtar, Shikosvo, he says, yeah, I wrote that shtar. Yes, I wrote, I borrowed $100 from Shimon. Biapiv Nachtimu Edim, and based upon his saying that I borrowed the money from Shimon, the Edim, Levi and Yehuda, go and sign that shtar. Ein hamal betzorach l'kaimo. Rashi continues and says, "Be'edim achasumim bo, you don't need to authenticate those two witnesses. Shein alove shuv ne'ma lo ma'paratit, because in this situation, the love who wrote the shtar, the IOU, is not believed to say he paid it back. And we don't say over here, according to Rav Meir, that's what Rav Huna Amarav says, we don't say, v'lo arminim b'hai ha'pesh osa hu shehitir. We don't say over here, pesh osa b'shehitir. Why? The mikevun sh'amar kosher haya. Since he says this was a valid document at one point in time, Hari Huchsak Hashtar, he's admitting that this shtar is a good shtar. Aye, he's now saying I paid it back. Pekyom Aparativ, Lo Mehaman, he's no longer believed because Shari Biyad Hamabu, if he had the shtar, yeah, but the shtar is in the hand of the guy that lent him the money. Rav Meir Nami Omar, and therefore Rav Meir holds, Ein Nemon Leposlo, Bemoda Love Shiksovo Ko Omar. So that's why Rav Meir says in this situation, we don't believe the witnesses, because the shtar has essentially been separately authenticated by the fact that the Lova admitted that it was a real shtar. And therefore, we don't need the Edim Ruven and Shimon in my case to go authenticate the shtar. And therefore, when they say, we were held at gunpoint, that's too late at this point in time. This would be Shuv, Eino Chozer, Umagid, because they'd already basically testified in the shtar, and you can't go later on and change it. So that's why Rav Meir in the Braisa that we brought down disagrees with this concept of Pesh Asa Pesh Hiter in this situation. Of course, the Chachamim and that Braisa or the Chamel Mishnah disagree with Rav Meir. And they say, we can say over here, HaPesh Asa HaPesh Hiter. And tomorrow's Shia, we'll pick up over here Gufa and we'll discuss this a little bit more in detail, this explanation that Rav Huna said over in the name of Rab. But with this, we conclude today's Shia. I thank you all for listening. Have a wonderful day.